News Radio KMAN in focus. I'm Dave Lewis in for Brandon Peoples, who's, well, he's in quarantine, but he's also on assignment because, you know, he has been doing a number of things at home as well as being a great dad to the youngsters there. So we're going to go to the agenda here and kind of take a look at a number of things. And, of course, we'll come back a little bit later on for the consent agenda. But one of the things that you're going to be talking about this evening, Manager Fear, is and some COVID-related CARES Act opportunities.
We do have a few on the agenda tonight that are related to that. We have a public hearing on our community development block grant funds. This is our third installment of CARES Act funding. And from our community, through the Department of Housing and Urban Development and our Community Development Block Grant Program. The good thing about this funding is that it doesn't have a year-end deadline of this year like the Kansas CARES money through the SPARK program does. So what we'll be doing is holding a public hearing on the latest round of funds we received, which was about $305,000. And how we plan to use it. The Department of Housing and Urban Development, when they pass this, to provide it to entitlement communities such as ours, and essentially that's communities that are over 50,000 in population or entitlement communities, wanted to us to use it to target rent and mortgage assistance, but it's not necessarily reserved specifically for that use. As you know, we've done some of that with the SPARKS funds that we received. And we've also encouraged folks, the state is also providing relief in rent, mortgage, and utility assistance. So although most of those are targeted for this calendar year is when the expense had to be incurred. With these funds, we can hold on to them for spreading into next year as a possibility, or we can redirect them at other eligible program costs. So the public hearing is really just to approve. We have to amend our plan for community development block program funds, our five-year plan, to accommodate this additional funding, and then the range of eligible funding categories that can be utilized for these funds, as well as the funds we received previously, which was in I think that was about $270,000 that we got previously. So we have dispersed some of the money, but again, because this doesn't have that end of 20 deadline, a lot of the agencies that had indicated that they would access some of these funds have been accessing the state SPARK funds first, and then can come back to these funds if necessary. So it's a good little nest egg to have to help out where needed, and a little bit more flexibility. There are quite a bit more requirements for reporting and that sort of thing with these federal grant funds, but it's good that we have them available and can utilize them.
Can you imagine getting through this without some of these funds?
It would be extremely difficult. You know, I don't know if you saw the governor's news release yesterday on some of the small business under 500 employees. Riley County businesses received, there were 68 in Riley County that received assistance, and 24 in Pottawatomie County. I don't have the exact location where in what city they are, but I'm guessing, just looking at the list, most of them are here in Manhattan or the Manhattan area. Most of them got $20,000 grants. One got 50 and some were between 20 and 50 and some were less than that, but they totaled about $1.26 million, and that's a significant help. Obviously, there's been federal rounds of help that have occurred as well. There were 24 Pottawatomie County businesses that got $400,000 in assistance. So especially those businesses that have been more impacted by this. A lot of the entertainment industry, Certainly retail and restaurants, hotels, all of those are ones that people haven't felt real comfortable coming back to. So a lot of those types of organizations and businesses have been struggling. So this type of funding has been extremely important to keep everybody viable and open, so that they can continue hoping that there's light at the end of the tunnel.
Let's talk a bit about some of the other things that are coming up on the agenda. You've got a utility easement that you're going to discuss at 204 Tuttle Creek Boulevard. Is that the Denny's location?
It's the Old Village Inn.
The Old Village Inn, okay.
Yep. And that's been vacant a while, but there are some proposed buyers of that. And then when they were getting their boundary survey done, they noticed that a portion of the building encroached on a fortunately unused utility easement. And so they're asking for, since there are no utilities in that easement and that area has been developed for quite a while, they went through the process. This is part of the process to have that easement vacated. And in that process, we notice all of the private and public utilities. Nobody's expressed an interest for needing that in the future. And so this is the process they utilize where we hold a public hearing and ask the city commission to formally vacate that easement so that they can utilize it. And so that will be helpful in helping to reutilize or redevelop that property.
Okay. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the things that are on the general agenda, including the potential of service and consumption of alcohol on some properties in the Aggieville Business District, a sidewalk cafe. That should be interesting. And how that ties in with some of the downtown dining platforms. City Manager Ron Fear, Mayor Yusha Reddy joining us on KMAN's In Focus. Back in just a couple of moments.